Ladies and gentlemen, this is Monday at 6 p.m., and I'd like to welcome you to Brown Show with assisted by Winfrey.
It's Winfrey Show.
No, we're changing it to the Terry Brown Show.
No, we are.
What are we talking about tonight, Terry?
I have no idea. You're the one that picks the topic.
All right. Well, I'll help her out, given this is her first show. And we have conversations with beings in other dimensions. We have talks with what identifies themselves as beings in other dimensions. How do you know when something's in another dimension? What is another dimension? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And this is a very unusual show because we interface between dimensions and many people can feel the energy, or they say they can, between dimensions. And I didn't start my tape recorder yet, Terry, you know that? So I also didn't bring in the conference call. We have a simulcast for the conference call. So with a push of a button, let's listen in to our conference call.
I don't hear anybody there.
Hello?
You're here, Terry.
Oh, hi.
How are you doing?
They were just being very silent, you know?
Usually I can hear something.
You were waiting with anticipation for your voice, Terry.
It's a rainy day.
Are we live on the call?
You're in Sedona.
Yeah, we're on the call. See, there's some...
Start your recorder in, all right?
I know that. Thank you. Thanks for reminding me, though.
And I'm going to join.
Hey, go ahead. Keep saying hello.
Yes. Hello to the people who just joined. And if you want to do so, please say your name and city.
Hi, it's Lisa, San Francisco, California.
Lisa, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Heis?
Doing good.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Cinda in Phoenix.
Hello, Cinda. How are you doing?
Great. How are you, Heist?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right.
Do I hear a cat in the background?
Oh, yeah. Zeke's giving his opinion as usual.
We are on the air, and we're recording, and this is Monday, August 1st. And we're all traveling here on planet Earth in the middle of a dimensional shift. And, you know, all the things we're seeing now were predicted in my book. For those of you that have read the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And... you know, the book makes the case that there is a positive outcome to it all. But we're in the middle of a roller coaster ride, all of us. And welcome aboard. And it's better to know what's happening than to be wondering out there. So I'm going to mute everybody. We have a really good topic tonight. How many of you read the topic that I sent out about 7 minutes ago? Probably nobody.
How to trap into the quantum field.
Who is that?
This is Corinne.
Oh, hi, Corinne. Corinne in New Jersey, right? In New Jersey?
Yes.
Great. It's nice to have you aboard. Hang on.
Are you sure you started the recorder, Wayne?
Yeah. It said I restarted it. So, hang on a second.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Entry and exit chimes are off.
Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So, the topic was how to tap into the quantum field. And I wanted to give a little bit of a visualization of that field. You know, a lot of the terminology that's used sometimes makes you think that it's up and away, it's far away. And as I've come to sit in the middle of all this for a while and watch it, I started to realize it wasn't far away. It was really close. But it was so close, you missed it. It passed by. It's subtle, but it's close. When we think of the Elohim and we think of the center of the universe, you know, in the physical realm, it's light years away. But in the metaphysical realm, it's right here. Everything is right here. Depends where you're positioned. And I'm going to be sharing a little bit about, from my own levels, how it looks. And then we'll be having conversations with our sources. And we'll get a perspective of how it looks from their levels. And we always, usually, find things out and discover things on these calls that are new. That, in fact, not only new to you and me, but maybe even new to this planet, this information. So, there's two ways of looking at things. One way is expanding your hologram, and then it's like getting big. You know, when we call in the light, we go through the universes, and we go through the galaxies, and we go through the solar system. We go through all of everything, so it seems so huge. Now, it's interesting that the very first time the Elohim had ever addressed us on this line was through Daphne in, I think, 2006, 2007. If you ever want to hear that audio, it's an extraordinary audio, and get your pencils out. This is a good one. firstintro.messageaday.net. firstintro.messageaday.net. And what happened on that call was I had been doing conference calls for a bit of time, but we had never channeled on the calls. I read from channelings. I played channelings, but never, ever, ever a live channeling. Why? I was nervous about it. You know, when you do a live channeling, you can't take it back. If a negative source comes through, you can't take it back. If the channel suddenly gets stuck and says, duh, you can't take it back. And suddenly your credibility has gone to hell. And, you know, we had spent some time developing respect from a small group of people, and I didn't want to risk losing it, and I didn't want to risk, you know, a wrong source coming through. But Daphne had moved to Cape Cod, and she Cape Cod, let me see. Yeah, I think she was in Cape Cod at this point. And, of course, if you have read my books, you know that Daphne was saying, what's going on here? This is crazy. I can't believe this is real. How do I know it's positive? I think I'm making it up. She went through all those kinds of things. And now a few years later, from that original time that we had our first experience, is a small group of people that are coming onto a conference call that are being very much impacted by the work we're putting out. And I had called Daphne up, and I had invited her to listen in on this call because I wanted her to get the idea that maybe she wasn't crazy, maybe I wasn't crazy, and maybe this was real. So she's listening, and somewhere in the middle of the call, she says they want to say something. And I threw caution to the wind, and I said, okay, let's see what happens. And they introduced themselves in such a way, saying, it's been a long time since we've had the opportunity to do something like this. And we look at the infinitesimal beauty of your souls. And they use the word infinitesimal. Why do they use infinitesimal? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. But listen to that channeling if you've never heard it. I made a nice video. firstintro.messageaday.net. firstintro.messageaday.net. Because there's a hologram, there's a microcosm, and a macrocosm. Ever hear of that? Microcosm, macrocosm. Everything reflects, is like a huge mirrored system reflecting each other. So, for example, DNA could be looked at as a microcosm, and the universe could be looked at as the macrocosm. And there's a corresponding point in your whole DNA structure that corresponds to everything in the universe. And here we have this universe made up of a multiplicity of dimensions or a multiplicity of timelines. Timelines is my way. I get a better hit on understanding dimensions when I think of them as timelines. In other words, time moving at different speeds. And so right where you are right now, right in your own physical location, you're sitting in a soup of timelines. And you're sitting in a soup of entities and a soup of beings and a soup of consciousness, some positive, some negative. It's right there with you. And you could say, and this is my way of looking at it, it's like you're a sweep generator. You are sweeping back and forth from your middle point through the third dimension. And, of course, in the third dimension, you have senses. So when you swing through third dimension, 3D, your senses pick up everything, and you have awareness. But in all these other places that you're sleeping, most people don't have direct awareness. Some people have some kind of awareness. They get pictures. Some people get dreams. Some people get intuitions. Some people get hunches. It's all coming in as you sweep through. Now, it's kind of like you're sweeping through all these frequencies. And there is one band of frequencies where the Ra group would be located, and another band where the Elohim group would be located. And you're going whoosh, 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 whoosh. And in most cases, people are going right through the bands. In most cases, people just don't even know they're doing this. And then they come back to the physical and look through their eyes and their senses, and then they find their universe by what they see, what they feel, with their five senses. So I'm suggesting simultaneously you're sweeping back and forth through all these dimensions. And when you get to the place where time stops, In other words, we talk about timelines, time moving at different speeds. When time stops, when there's no time, you're back to original creation. You're back to nothing. You're back. There needs to be time for there to be something. Now, it doesn't have to be time as we measure time, but there must be time, because time creates a movement that creates reality. In other words, you exist because you just existed and you're going to exist. If you totally move into no time, do you still exist? I think even the Elohim, when they describe themselves, there's some older talks where they say they don't exist all the time. They go into nothingness, and then they come out, and then they go back, and then they come out. It's like the quantum wave theory. Is it a wave or a particle? I don't know if that's exactly comparable, but that little comment had me thinking for quite some time, going in and out of nothingness to somethingness. Now, you as a human, part of you is doing the same thing. You go, like, did you ever, like, space out? And kind of, like, come back and say, where was I? Now, maybe you were somewhere, but maybe you weren't. Maybe you moved into a moment of nothingness. The quantum field, as I see it, exists just on that fulcrum where nothingness becomes somethingness. And within that field is the flow of intelligence that we call these group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group. And within that field, there's also flows that could be considered of the negative, from negative sources. And from that field, we have the potential to co-create or shift things, because that field is the precursor to the physical realm. We are made of that field. And so when the field shifts, it downloads into the physical as a shift. To an intelligence that's in the field, they can move energies around so things can change in a very natural way that from our point of view look like a miracle. But from the point of view of the intelligence in the field, it's just business as usual, because they exist in the place that's the precursor, that's the source point of this reality. So when something truly shifts in that reality, it shifts in this reality. So everyone on this line, I venture to say, and I think I can say everyone, if I'm making a mistake, then exclude yourself. Everyone on this line would like something to happen in their life that's not happening right now. How do you make something happen that's not happening? Well, you can do it by the sweat of the brow. You can work really hard. You can go here. You can go there. But how about if you could do it by moving into that space in the field that's the precursor to this realm? How about if you could get your sweep generator that's always sweeping through the field, usually so fast that it just misses it, to stop and hold? Now, we do this on Sundays. Those of you that are on the calls and feel the energy on that call, that you know what I'm talking about. And it's a reference point. And you're doing it. We're doing it together. And how do you do it during the week? You do it by practice. You do it by attention. You do it by going into the sweep and recognizing the frequency of the field. You understand what I mean by the sweep? I mean, there's a whole set of frequencies, and you're sweeping across them all the time, whether you know it or not. It's like you're scanning, and it's on an unconscious, below-the-surface level. You're not trying to do it in most cases. And then it's like a scanner. It keeps scanning and stops where there's a signal. When there's a resonance, it goes on and stops where there's another signal. And somewhere in that scan are these frequencies of these high group souls. And they are in the field. They are, in my belief and my experience with them, they are an energy in the field. They are an intelligence in the field. And that those of you who are on this line are learning how to connect into that field with that intelligence. Those of you that are listening regularly, some of you. And we're going to explore that more deeply today with our sources about how to move your consciousness into the field where you can make adjustments and transformations to your life that are coming from recreations in the field rather than by the sweat of the brow. Now, everything we cover tonight, I am putting under the auspices of the law of one, the highest good of all concerned, and honoring free will. It's very important because if you start to learn how to recreate things in the field, it's very important that your intent be high. Because the negative does the same thing. They go into the field and try to recreate things to their advantage. So, for example, if you said, I'd like John to love me, that's negative. Because there's no free will in it. It's like putting a spell on John. But if you said, I'd like John, for the highest good, to be open to me in his heart, then, and honoring his free will, that's okay. Because you can put it out, and it creates an energy, but it does not violate the free will. If you're violating the free will, you lose the support of our sources. It won't work with your intentions. If you're honoring, I believe I've got this right, we'll ask them, if you're honoring free will and the highest good of all concerned, it becomes the opportunity for them to assist. But you still have to get their frequency in the field. It's not like saying, please do this or I want this to happen. You can start off that way. We're going to try to create some visualizations that help you tune in to the frequency. And are you ready, Terry?
On this radio, Zillerby, can you define quantum field?
Can I define quantum field? Now, let me see. It just so happens I got my internet on. Let's see what the official definition is. And I'll see how it matches how I would describe it. Does that make any sense at all to you, what I said?
Yeah, I would. But I was looking up quantum field, which at the time, so I didn't get the whole thing of what you said.
I see. Well, let's see. I just said quantum field theory, and it dropped me out. I'll read the first sentence, and then see what else I can find. Quantum field theory provides a theoretical framework constructing quantum mechanical models of systems classically parametrized by an infinite number of dynamic degrees of freedom. That is, fields in a condensed matter context, mind, many body systems. It is the nature and quantitative language of particle physics and condensed matter physics. Well, we were both physics majors, Terry, and what are we going to do? It's like,
you can't finish it?
Well, you know what? I could finish it, but I want to take a moment and before I keep reading that, you know, that's on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Let me look.
Quantum field theory provides a theoretical framework for constructing quantum mechanical models of systems classically parametrized. Is that what you're reading?
Yeah. Now, I just did a search on quantum field spirit. Okay. We see quite a book of, quite a bunch of books even. Let's try this one here. This is a book on this. Try to get the feel, the feel of the field. You know, I have my way of tuning into these things, and I'm usually in the right department. Okay. Life and spirit in the quantum field. Spirit is real, feelings real, and other adventures in the quantum life. And of course, this is a book by Doug Bennett, who I'm not familiar with. Let's see what we come up with here. Come on. Open up. How do we bridge the chasm between the world of mainstream science and the world of spirit? This book shows that the chasm is an artifact of Descartes' deal with the Inquisition. By applying quantum principles to life sciences, we see that thoughts and feelings are our connection to the world of knowing and influence across space and time. The world of spirit and intuition is just as real as the world of atomic accelerators and biochemical laboratories. Capabilities that have been disallowed by science are relegated to the realm of practitioners of alternative arts are now available to anyone who wants to access the non-material world. Distant healing, intuitive knowing, and divination can now be embraced by mainstream science under the new paradigm of quantum life. Doug Bennett applies the principles of quantum mechanics to life, the holographic nature of thought and feeling, to establish the divinity of humans and the humanity of God. This book will appeal to people who think about things as well as intuitives who feel about things. The author is a card-carrying thinker and aspiring intuitive. Now, the book I'm reading about, which I have not read, I'm just reading the description, Life and Spirit in the Quantum Field, Spirit is Real, Feelings Rule, and Other Adventures in Quantum Life. So you can see how that ties into the way I was describing it, in a different kind of a way, that there is this field that connects everything, it connects all the dimensions, and that there's a connection, I believe, with our sources and this field. Either they can travel down this field, or they are the field. We're going to ask them questions to understand their relationship with this field and how we can better visualize a way to connect with the field and connect with them. Okay, Terry, is that enough?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does that help, what I read? Not much.
You know what?
We'll see what happens.
They're telling me stuff now. It's not exactly what you were saying, though.
Okay, well, let's see what comes up, and we'll all learn something. Okay?
All right.
I try to figure these things out by reverse engineering as a human, watching things very carefully, having a lot of synchronicities, and, of course, having endless conversations with these voices that say they created the physical universe, and that can help us. And many of us who have been on these lines have seen something miraculous occur. So there's some evidence that something's working. So I'm gonna call in the light. This is actually bringing in the field, and we're gonna ask questions tonight about the microcosm, the macrocosm, infinitesimal, infinite period. It's like, for example, I refer to my sister, how they said they projected a filter into her blood. How do you project a filter? How do you go into the field? How do you move through energies? The reason we're going to talk about this is because I think the better that we can visualize how this works, to the best of our human minds, maybe we have more chance of accessing it and using it in a way to transform our own obstacles, to heal ourselves, to heal our friends, and to attract things that we want for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of spirit and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through our galaxy, through the solar systems, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating and honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra On, and this is August 1st, 2011. And we have an interesting topic tonight, which is the nature of where we live and travel within and without the realm and within and without us on a field. Do you have questions?
Well, why don't we start with you just making some of your own comments based on my comments, and either clarify or tell me I'm wrong, or I don't have the full picture, or give it. We're looking at it all from the Earth plane and third dimension upwards, and you're looking at it all from somewhere else, looking downwards. So we're going to try to understand this topic and where we meet in the middle, so that we can all have better access to these energies of transformation.
Thank you. We are tied together with the quantum field. We all are tied together not only by the quantum field, but by the being of which we all are, upon which the quantum field and all that is written. Therefore, we are one at the basis of everything. As we or other factors create spinningnesses within the playground of the one being of which all that is, it brings forces together much as a car moves by one on the street and one feels an attraction and a breeze, or one follows a semi-truck and feels the car pick up a little speed, traveling in the path of the semi-truck. One is affected by the particle movement in the area or location where one is within the third dimension, or indeed within other dimensions. As the hologram or the galaxy spins, one is affected by this spinningness. However, it does not seem like one is affected because it is within the framework of the spinningness that the individual resides, so that there is a connection between all that is as a basic underlying fabric of beingness that everything is written upon. When particles are created in a universal field, there begins manifestation. And they are written, they are manifested according to the laws of the area which are created. The laws are created by the various spinningnesses and their intersection points, so that the geometric relationships of one so created particle to another is dependent upon certain mathematical qualities such as speed of flow, speed of intersection, coincidence of intersection points, frequency of intersection, then within the framework of all that is, there are simultaneous things occurring. And when two frequencies are the same frequency, but locations are set up in different places depending upon the intersection and the flow. So locations are actually pinned down and created. Then when there is frequency that is the same, flow that is the same, intersections that are the same, there is a common basis upon the material within those sections. And there is a coincidence in occurrence. Whether they are near or far, this coincidence registers in the being of all that is. And it is a common location, synchronicity point, event that occurs with each. And as such, the intelligence of all that is recognizes this synchronicity point and identifies it as being the same conditions and geometrical shapes, frequencies as the other. When you have enough synchronicity points coming together that is based upon the result of the intersecting flows and speeds of intersection, and they are coexisting, they form a network or string that energy can move between them, can be even a wormhole between them. The synchronicities congeal together in similar patterns, and a dimension is formed when one is at another similarly formed density. One has awareness of the surrounding as one is vibrating and moving at the same rate as that is around them. And one's vision is limited down to that particular area. In fact, the body forms that result are particularly designed to operate in those particular frequencies. Then at higher levels, higher frequencies, similar life forms exist, and life is everywhere. Life is available. Intelligence is available. And they get together within those entities. And so we have different levels, much as a building has different floors, and someone on the first floor does not see what is going on the seventh floor without some mechanism of seeing. So
I want to. I wanted to ask a question because
yes.
I want to make sure that on this call I make an attempt at not just understanding it, but grounding it in a way that somebody can use the ideas. And as you were talking, I had a flash go across me that I wanted to see if I'm correct in this understanding. Now, if we go back to the time we discussed how the Elohim created the universe, there was a description of beings, Elohim beings, that were projecting energies, frequencies, and another Elohim being would be projecting a frequency, and where those two frequencies crossed, which means you had to have space for them to cross, there would become a nexus point or a node that would be the beginning of an anchoring of something new. Do I have that approximately correct?
Yes. Space is not just there. Space is created.
Space is created. But somehow this is creating space. These frequencies are creating space. And I can't quite grasp the whole picture. But nonetheless, frequencies becoming nodes when they meet. And it was more than one. You could have 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 100 beings projecting a frequency, creating a point of node. Is that accurate?
When beings are creating a galaxy, it is outside, from outside the galaxy. When individuals are creating hologramic circumstances, they are within the galaxy or spinning area and using generally what is around them to create hologramic instances.
I want to look at the way something is created in a prayer or an intention. And we have something called Team Shift, where people come together every day. And if anyone's interested in that, I highly recommend it. Teamshift.messageaday.net. And they call in the light and they put their intentions. And then oftentimes I get reports of some kind of mini miracle or synchronicity that happened. And even more often on our Sunday calls, the grid healings. Now, I try to imagine how this works. And, you know, I know at the lowest common denominator of looking at it, it's like, here we're these little dumb humans and we put something, and then we have the big giant Elohim coming in and they make it happen. But I don't think it works that way. I think there is something in common with the way things happen on those calls to the way original creation worked. It seems like when there's two or more people on the call that are creating the same intention, they're also projecting a frequency. And they all create a projection, and the higher forces come in and send energy to that projection. Then it creates a node that wasn't there before, and that node leads to what looks like a miracle in this realm. Is that anywhere near accurate?
Yes. This has another element in it besides what you have mentioned, in that one individual has a vision and another one needs the vision. The others on the call project the vision, and the energy is held, and we, or individuals who also could help, can help hold that vision, make it stronger, and amplify synchronistic situations that can help bring the vision into fruition.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. This is a kind of the same idea, yes?
Yes, it is. It is correct.
This is all looking at these same principles with just another understanding. I want to repeat this because I want you all to visualize and get this, that when you want to change something, if you're sitting all by yourself and praying, it may work. But can you project your energy high enough so they can find it and create a counter frequency to cross your frequency to create a node which starts something transforming? I hope I'm getting this right. Then you get two people doing the same thing and making the same projection, and suddenly it becomes easier, more powerful, and the higher forces can find the node to add their frequency to it, and now it becomes a powerful transformation from another realm into the physical realm. And this is why we started Team Shift. I don't know if I knew it in these words when we started it, but it gives you the opportunity to experiment doing this with a group of people, crisscrossing frequencies or having joint intentions. You know, you don't see the frequencies. You're just, hypothesizing that there's frequencies that are happening in those intentions. But many people have said that thoughts create everything. When you think, you're changing things. Now, the Elohim and Ra group are not the field, but they're masters of flowing through the field. Could we say that? Is that accurate?
That is correct.
So the field is like a quantum highway between any two points in the universe, or from the point where the Elohim and Ra reside. If we say there's a point, then I'm not sure that's even accurate that you could locate it. But they can move from their vantage, if we want to call it that, through the field anywhere instantly. And they can tell when someone is accessing their frequency through a high intent. And they can move to that access point. Or the Council of 12 monitors that and then petitions for it. But in any case, there is a signal that travels through the field when someone registers a high, pure intent that can be read by our sources. And I'm saying that close in a way that's true.
We do not use the term node for the hologramic projection, as it contains many nodes or potential nodes. So we work with resonances, and we see resonances like gateways that allow flow to move through when an individual is accessing the field and projecting the desired image. It opens gateways of flow between projected hologramic results that could fulfill the desire.
If a person wanted to practice accessing this energy and making the connection, and I'm sure there's more than one way, but might one way that would be effective be to listen to the little meditation that I do every Sunday, which I call the guided visualization, just that part of it, and then while listening, put their own intention, think their intention of things that would like to transform for the highest good of all concern. Or the other thing is to be in a team shift group, that's teamshift.messageaday.net, and do the same thing with someone else present. Could you comment on those two methods of doing this?
It would help to have another there, as it would be a real life communication that can reinforce the projection one is making. The other way. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish.
The other way, when you are speaking or they are reading or playing back the visualization that you hold through, can also bring in the condition. One can then put their intention on the situation where you have more than one person on the team shift creates a point-to-point connection over distance, which gives it more gravity.
Now, I think I'm correct in assuming. Well, let me ask this other question first. Does the Elohim require, the Elohim Ra require a human projecting from this level to create a node of transformation, a seed of transformation? In other words, could the Elohim look at something that was a terrible misjustice that was happening in this realm and do something to affect that injustice without a human creating a request? You know, we know that there's a thing about request and free will, but is there an actual requirement to create the node across frequencies for the Elohim Ra groups to do something?
When intelligence that resides in all feels an injustice, the signal goes out broadly. And by the nature of your question that contains the answer, we do pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think we're out of time, and this was a really fascinating conversation. And I hope people understood it. These are really subtle ways that the universe works that we're sharing here. And if anyone wants to submit questions on this particular topic, we take questions on anything on Wednesday. And that's really our time for Wednesday, for asking your questions. But I'd really like to know how you guys could understand this and implement it. Now, I would think if you really listened, we're going to have a rush of people wanting to join Team Shift. There should be. But that is a very powerful tool for implementing this and for transformation. And I don't think anyone on the planet is offering anything as great as the things we're offering, absolutely free, in such a way that it can, you know, you can implement it. So, if you're interested, go to teamshift.messageaday.net. Teamshift.messageaday.net. And some of you know that I'm giving the book away, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe Want to Talk to You. And I appreciate all of you that have read it and shared it and continue to share it. And just the act of sharing it is creating a transformation. You know, this is another conversation, but I remember reading one time, if you create a shift in another person, the shift comes back to you. Many people have said, if you want to make a lot of money, help other people to make a lot of money, and you'll make a lot of money. Because if you want to be happy, make other people smile, and you'll start smiling. This is like the law of one in action, that you make something happen. So just by sharing the book, it can cause a huge transformation in someone that will come back to you as a transformation in yourself. So give it a try. And I thank our source. Do you have any closing comments?
Give us a minute as we wrap the trance. Give us a moment. As we had mentioned earlier, where an individual lives in a certain density, then the geometries and the body systems are made up of those particular frequencies and geometries. And therefore, the awarenesses of that individual are of, because they are constructed of, the surrounding materials. And their senses are normally limited by these materials that they are, that their body systems are made of. Therefore, one experiences consistency within a density. We hope we have shed some light upon the subject. We love each and every one of you, and we look forward to our next contact. God in Noah.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing on such a deep topic. Everyone who is listening, let me see here.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
I've just unmuted everybody, and if you want to send a question for Wednesday, questions at messageaday.net. You can do the same thing for this call if we ask some more questions on the field energy. And you can send it to the same, but just put Monday call in the subject line so I distinguish it, okay? And we'll see you all next time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good night, Wynn.
Good night, Cinda.
Thank you, Ron, Terry, and Vin, and everybody here. Love you all.
That all makes any sense to everybody? You guys understand that?
I'm going to listen to it again.
That's what you have to listen to a few times, right?
Yeah.
And then it's great to have the transcripts. I have 50% of it, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see you
Thank
later.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Stop conference recording. Press 1. To return, your conference recording has stopped.
Okay. Well, okay, that's it. That's it. That's it. It's over. Come on. Come on.
Uh-oh. Somebody's got a cat out there.
Yep.
Got my hopes.